brand new series called Text. What if God were sending you a text message? And I'm kind of excited about this series. I think you're going to find it pretty beneficial. But I want to start today a little bit different. I want you we're going to start with this little a saying here. Let's read it on screen. If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. Could you say that with me? If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. We're going to kind of talk about that today. And if you would open your Bibles, there's a Bible there in front of you, like I said. In the very center of your Bible is the book of Psalms. If you open up most Bibles, unless you got a whole bunch of study notes in the back, if you open up most Bibles to the very center, it's going to be the book of Psalms, and go to chapter 119. Now, when I was growing up, like most of you grew up, when you were having dinner at your house, the whole family gathered together for dinner, and as you were sitting around your dinner table, something might happen. The phone might ring, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And your father, if he was like my father, he might say something like this. Don't worry about it. If it's important, they will call back. You did that too in your house. How amazing is that? And then we got something really cool in our house. We got this little box, and it was fun after Dad got to tinker with it for a while to do something special on it. We all got to like leave a little. But In our house, when Dad got something new, Dad got to do it first. It's still that way in my house because I'm the dad now. But then the whole thing changed, didn't it? That little saying changed. And he would say, ding-a-ling-a-ling at dinner. Don't worry about it. If it's important, they will leave a message. See, we got a message. But then we had a whole different dynamic start to take place in our lives, didn't we? We started to hear this. Oh, no. We started to hear this. Does that make you just want to reach for your purse right now? Just to make sure it's not your phone? This little thing has changed our life, hasn't it? In fact, for some of us, it doesn't sound quite like that, does it? Oh, I don't want Twinkle. I've been practicing this all week and I'm messing it up. Sounds more like this, doesn't it? That's what it sounds like for many of us. But you know that little tritone or whatever bell and whistle you have on your phone, it immediately grabs your attention. It's no longer they'll leave a message, right? I mean, at dinner, we have to like threaten our kids sometimes. Put the phones down, right? You know, we're out for a nice dinner or whatever, and they're on their phone. Sometimes, you know, when the kids are at home, you know, we're on date night and we're both texting. We go, we got to put these things down, right? It's crazy. But the old days are past, and now we don't ignore the caller for a moment. We, you know, information life happens at the speed of life now, and it's just a different time that we live in. And we understand why this is the case, don't we? I mean, these little devices, when you get a text message, it's always personal, isn't it? I mean, it's always personal. In addition to that, it's always from someone you know. I mean, very rarely do you get a text message from somebody you don't know. Isn't that true? Once in a while, I suppose it's possible. But there's not really, I want to say, no spam, because I do get a couple of messages. But then you can quickly unsubscribe. You can just text stop and they just stop them, right? Because I think there's laws about that. But in your inbox, in your email, you still get a bunch of spam mail, right? But not on the text. So you know it's probably something that's pretty urgent, something that's pretty necessary. No wrong numbers. It's short. It's relevant. It might be an emergency. Who knows? Right? You ever said that? You certainly don't want to miss something important. It's convenient. All of these things play into our mind when we hear our little bell go off, don't we? Our little electronic leash. But you know what I like about it? It's convenient, isn't it? It's incredibly convenient. I can stay in control of the conversation. I don't have to get drawn into some lengthy conversation that I don't have time for in the moment, I can look at it and there's pretty much it's right down to business. You ever been on a phone call and you get on the phone and it's like, hey, how are you? Good. So how was dinner last night? That's not why they're calling, you know, and you got all this small talk, not with a text message. Isn't that incredible? You know, it's just they don't want to sit there and say, hey, what's up? I mean, I guess some people do, but they get to the point. The text message is like, hey, I'm waiting for you, you know, whatever. And it's just right there. So there's some really great things, but there's an assumption. The assumption is that when you get a text message, you'll read it. Isn't that the assumption? You never, ever, ever ask somebody, so, hey, did you read my message? What do you say? Hey, Mike, did you get my message, isn't it? Because, of course, if they got the message, they read it, didn't they? They read it. There's never, ever, ever, I bet you've never heard, so, John, I got your text message, but, you know, I'm just not a reader. I didn't read it. I prefer to talk. Would you just, you know, call me? Because I don't really want to read that text message. You've never heard that, have you? You know, most text messages, the truth is, what you read what's important to you, don't you? You read what's important to you. And these things may be important, right? But the truth is, most texts that come through the phone, in the grand scheme of things, are not important at all, are they? I mean, if you really added up all, I don't even know how many text messages I get a month or a year. I guess I could look on my phone. I think they still tell you on your phone bill, we have unlimited texts because there's no way we want to pay a nickel a text message. I can guarantee you that. So there's. But if you looked at all of them, they're probably not all that earth-shattering, are they? Most of us grew up around a text message that we have, if we had read and applied that text message, it would have enabled us to avoid many of the mistakes that we've made in lives. We maybe wouldn't have married that person that we've divorced. Maybe we would have handled a certain relationship differently. Maybe we would have raised up our children in a different way had we read this particular text message. Maybe we would have saved us a lot of money, because maybe we wouldn't have done that particular failed investment or whatever the case because of the wisdom and counsel that's contained in this particular text message. Would have informed us in relationship decisions, career decisions might have been different, all kinds of things that this particular text message that I want to share with you might be different in your life. Thank you. Can you get that text message? See there? So, like the text you will receive next week and maybe even during this message, right? Unlike those text messages, this text message that we're going to talk about today is incredibly relevant, isn't it? It's incredibly personal. Just like the text message we receive here, it applies directly to us. There's something tangible, it's personal, it's relevant, it's from someone that knows you. In fact, this person not only knows you, he created you, and he knows how your past affects your present. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about life because he created life. He knows what's impacting your heart. This is important. This affects us incredibly different than this affects us, doesn't it? This needs charging. This doesn't need charging, ever. It has its own power source, if you will. This text message is like, some people, you've held this in such incredibly high regard. You've patterned your life after messages in this Bible, but you haven't taken time to read it. And that's the challenge for this sermon this week, this during the text message series. Sometimes this book, if you've grown up in America, you may have never picked up and read the Bible in your life, but this Bible has had amazing ramifications in your life. If you haven't read it, that you don't even know exists there because of the country that you've grown up in, because of the country you were born in. This book has amazing, far-reaching impacts. Some of the things in this book have brought shame into your life. And it shouldn't have. Because somebody told you something was in this book, and it isn't even there. But that you've let it impact you for years. Sometimes you can look into this book, and it's amazing that there are things in here, if you just start a cursory reading of it and start understanding and start studying it out a little bit, you'll find things in here that will radically change your life for the better in just a few short applications. It's really quite amazing. You see, God communicated through this book to us. We refer to it as God's Word or God's Holy Word. The Bible, we could refer to it as God's perspective. We could refer to it as God's viewpoint or His take for life or His interpretation for life. Any of those would apply to this book. If you read it, you will begin to see everything in it differently. Absolutely everything in life differently. You'll see the value for people differently. You really will. You'll start to see your marriage differently. If you start reading this book, you'll start to see your money differently, your wealth differently, the accumulation of wealth differently. You'll start to see poverty in a whole new light. You'll see your career differently, your work differently. You'll start to see your love differently with other people. You'll start to see your sex life differently, if I can be so bold as to say that. It'll affect how you forgive and how you view forgiveness. It'll shape how you feel guilt. It'll shape how you see your time, sin. It'll affect how you think of life in general and even death. That's quite a big claim for a book that's maybe a really ancient book, thousands of pages, and yet it has such far-reaching ramifications for us. For years I've prayed, God, I want to see as You see, and God, I want to do as You say. And I read, and I read, and I read, and I studied, and I studied, and I studied, and I've poured thousands of hours into a book, just like this particular one in general. Why? Because I know if I'm left to my own devices with no course corrections at all in my life, I know where my life would go. I know that if I was left to my own interpretation of life, I would probably, most likely, get it wrong. At least some big parts of it. I know that because I know me. And I've watched really, really, really smart people. Really smart people, really well-intentioned people make really, really bad decisions in life. And I always think to myself two things. First one is, I could have done that. You've heard me say this a lot, my kids especially. There but by the grace of God go I. Right? I could have made that mistake. I am not beyond that affair. I'm not beyond that situation. I can tell you honestly up front here, I have never, ever, ever tried any drug, street drug. Never, ever. Kim either. Because we grew up around this and it shaped us and it says, be careful of the things intoxicants that you know, it gives you warnings about mind-altering stuff. And so I knew, and I knew that I knew, that if I tried it, I would probably love it. And I would probably be addicted to it. And I would probably have to fight that battle. And I thought, I just don't think I want to go there. Plus, I knew some people that were really kind of, you know, and I didn't want to go there either. Right? And so that, you know, that shaped me. The second thing, not only beyond that could be me, I always also thought, what if they had known this? What if that really, really, really smart, I mean, all A, college, doctorate, all of that, what if they had just known what was in this book and how that would have made a difference in their life? That would made it have kept them from that monumental, life-altering 30-second decision that they made that they're going to pay for the next 30 years. You may have avoided your greatest regret if you had just spent a few minutes a day in a book just like this. You may have avoided that regret. It may have shaped you enough to where that mistake you made or that issue that came into your life could have just been avoided very quickly and very easily. The truths of this book guide us. And King David said it this way, and we just sang it. That song was so great for today. Your word is like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, your word, God, it guides me in the dark. It guides me in the dark. It guides me when I don't know what to do. It guides me when I think I know what to do, but I have a little bit of confusion. It like illuminates my path in front of me. It makes a tremendous difference, helping me weigh out decisions in life if I just spend some time in it. So I'm going to do everything in my power for today and the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be very overt about this. And my goal is to get you to read this book. I've done a lot in the past. I've tried to make it exciting. I tried to make it like a soap opera. I've tried to leave you with a cliffhanger and go, you got to come back next week to hear the rest of the story. You've been in those messages. I've done creative things, you know. I've dressed up in crazy characters, especially on Christmas Eve, and tried to make it really come to life for you. I've done everything I can. Now I'm just going to tell you why you need to read this book for yourself. Some of you have been told some things. Some of you have been told, you can't understand it, so don't bother trying. You didn't go to seminary. You're going, Pastor, you know, you've had Bible college and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, you can understand it for yourself. You really can. You can pick this up and you may struggle with some things, but you can dig in and you can get some answers. And I'm here to help you. You have a question? Call me. Send me an email. Send me a text with a question. And I'll get right on it. All right? Do you know that there's countries in the world that don't allow this book in it? You show up in their airport, you fly in, and you go through their customs, and they see this in your baggage, they will take it out and not give it back to you. They will arrest you if you are caught with this book. They are threatened. They think that their people might read this book and maybe not support the government in some way, so they don't allow this book in. And yet, we have sometimes this book on a coffee table in our house or somewhere, and there's dust on the top of it, of course, but that's a whole other subject. And we have this book, and we have access to this book, and we live in a country where you can have as many of these books. We have it on our phones. We have it on our iStuffs. We have it on our on everything that we, you know, so many ways to get this Bible, and yet we don't know what's in it, really. So that's the challenge for this. We want to read this thing for ourselves. And here's the thing. If you're going to bother getting all dressed up and come here on Sunday morning, if you're going to serve in this thing called the church, if you're going to be influenced in your life, attend and give for the so that more people can know the message and so on, If you're going to do all of that, don't you owe it to yourself to get into and find out what this says for yourself? Don't you owe it to yourself to start systematically reading it on a daily basis? And I'm not talking like you have to go to seminary and start reading it 4 hours a day or you're going to hell. That's not at all what I'm saying. But just 5 minutes a day would be a great start, wouldn't it? Or 10 minutes a day would be fabulous. I would be doing cartwheels if I knew that everyone in the church was reading just a few minutes a day. Because we would all grow so quickly, so fast, so wonderfully in our life. You owe it to yourself. You see, I have a lot of Catholic friends, and they have told me that they were just told they couldn't get it. And they never read the Bible. It was on the coffee table because it was blessed and was supposedly brought blessing into their house. But other than that, just a few minute homily on Sunday, and they just went on with life. But this book has shaped you. It has molded you. It has shaped your thinking. There are things in this book. You'll spend a few minutes reading this book for a year or so, and you'll go, you know that saying, God helps those who help themselves? That's not even in here anywhere. Where's that at? And that you live by your life by that principle. But it's not there. There's things that you think are there that aren't. And then there's a whole bunch of things that are in here that can shape your future and help you, and amazing wisdom and understanding and insight that will literally light the pathway before you. It's really quite amazing. It's not enough to just come on Sunday and listen to me. And I'm glad you're all here today. It becomes personal, incredibly personal, when you read it for yourself, when you take it into your own heart. You feel it as if God were literally speaking to you. Because He is, according to His Bible, according to His Word. We get caught up in trying to get God to do something for us. That's usually what our prayer boils down to. It doesn't have to be, but a lot of times we pray and it's like, God, help me with this, help me with that, bless my children, help them do good, help their marriage, help, you know, and we have a laundry list of stuff and we're praying, asking. What if God doesn't want to do something in your life right now? What if God wants to say something in your life right now? He's going to do that through His Word. What if God doesn't want to do something? What if God wants to say something? He wants us to hear what He has to say. And He speaks. He took about 40 men. 40 men wrote the Bible over about 1,600 years. And the amazing thing about this book is it's one story that was told over 1,600 years from 40 different perspectives. And it's a cohesive book. When you look at the overall picture of it, it tells a single story. And it's an amazing story. And it provides incredible wisdom with God literally speaking life and hope and an incredible message. And even when we mess up, how to fix it. And even when we are facing a tough decision, how to make the right one. Not a decision, but the wisest, best decision. God gives us that information. We get caught up God trying to do something, but what if He wants to say something and He already has said something? And you're holding it right in your hands, many of you. When we get caught up in trying to get Him to do something for us, oftentimes we stop and we stop short and we fail to pause long enough to let Him speak. And chances are He wants us to do something. That's oftentimes where God comes from. Less often, usually when we pray for a miracle, we pray, God, do something in this situation. Most of the time, He's wanting to speak into our lives so that we do something that shapes us and molds us. He wants to give us the answer for that and have us do something or something different. It is crazy. It is not to read and study God's book, the one who gave us the answers to life. Not enough to pray. My observation is prayer is talking to God primarily, but relatively few people carve out a time on a daily basis to listen to what God is saying to us. So God communicated with a man named David through the law. He had given David the first 7 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges. And these books are wonderful, but you would have to admit, if you've read the Bible all the way through, that they're probably not the most 7 exciting books in the Bible, right? I mean, who goes, man, I want some inspiration today. I think I'll read me some Numbers, right? Or praise the Lord for Leviticus. Oh, my goodness. I've read through the Bible I don't know how many times, and I get through about halfway through Leviticus, and I'm going, oh, please, God, give me a psalm. I need something, right? I need something, you know, he beget him, and you know, there was 700,486 people in the tribe of, you know, and it's just a little bit, you know, Lord, I love you and all, but that, though, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So they're not the most, but that's what David had. He didn't have Matthew. He didn't have Daniel, you know, some exciting, throw some people in the furnace and watch them rescue. That's exciting material, right? He didn't have those books. It hadn't even happened yet. So David, King David, probably only had the first 7 books of the Bible. And he talks about those books in such an intimate, amazing way. There's a warmth that David has toward these historical records. And get this, they're written about 700 years before David was alive. These books were written, the books of Moses, if you will. And so we want to look at how he looked at the Word of God. So go to Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And go to all the way to verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. It says, oh, how I love your law. Now, that seems kind of strange, doesn't it? I mean, especially when you know the first 7 books of the Bible. Oh, how I love your law, King David says. I meditate on it all day long. Could you just underline all day long? Now, this is a busy guy. David is definitely king when he writes Psalm 119. And he's saying, I meditate on this all day long. Don't you think he's had other things to be doing? How could he possibly meditate on it all day long? But then it got me to thinking as I read that and studied for this series. I thought, what do I meditate on all day long? And not only the question, what do I meditate on all day long, but God, how does what I meditate on all day long affect the decisions that I make all day long? Right? A little convicting to me. And I had to do a little soul searching with this. So, how I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. Do you think there's a correlation between what we meditate on, what we're focused on, and what we think about and the decisions that we make? I think there's probably a direct correlation between those two. I think that's a good thing for us today to take home. The first that's worth coming to church for. What we meditate on is going to impact our daily life. King David is certainly thinking that way. So verse 98, he says, your commands make me wiser. Just underline the word wiser there. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. How can his commands make us wiser? Well, here's how. God understands how things work. He understands how all things work because He created them. Genesis 1:1. For in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you can get into a dispute. We're not here to argue that this morning about, you know, when God did all of that and how God did all of that, but in the beginning, God. Then that's basically it. He created time before that. There was no time. He made it all come into being and however you want. But He did it. And since He did it, He understands how life works. He gets that. And He can give us that insight better than anybody else. And that's pretty amazing. So Your commands, they make me wiser. I need to understand Your thoughts. I need to understand Your commands. They make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. In other words, they come to mind when I need them most. Have you ever been reading your Bible and then that week you face a decision, you face a relationship issue, you face something going on in your life, and this thought comes into your head, just pops in there, and you just sort of know what to do in that moment. That ever happened to you? It happens to me. When I'm up here preaching sometimes, I get something in my head from a passage of Scripture I read months and months ago, and it just fits perfectly. It's just what God wants to tell us at that moment. And He speaks oftentimes to you, for they are ever with me. When I need them, they're going to be there. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. Underline insight. Please write in your Bibles because you need to keep this information. How you love your law. I meditate all day long. They make me wiser. They give me insight. These are things the Bible does. So I have more insight than all my teachers. It gives me the ability to read between the lines, to have a big picture philosophy, to connect with others that I don't connect with in order to see kind of what I miss in life. It helps me see beyond the present, and I can have a bigger perspective through Your Word than I could have on my own. They give me insight. You know, when I like playing chess, I'm not as good as maybe I would like to be, but when you're learning to play chess, You get focused on, when I was teaching my kids, they get focused on what's going on right in front of them or protecting the queen, and they don't see what's happening on the other side of the board. And you have a little man over here that can move all the way to the other side and impact the game in an instant. You know what I'm talking about if you're a chess player. And so the instructions when you're teaching somebody to play chess is look at the whole board. Look at the whole board. Look at the whole board, right? And so when you look at the whole board, you get a perspective is different. You're not focused on this little corner trying to protect your king or queen or rook or something. You're looking at the whole board and seeing how everything's kind of playing out and how in two or three moves ahead, what can happen and how the game can change. The Bible gives us that broader view. That book, the Bible actually, the 66 books of the Bible, some of you didn't know how many books were in there, did you? 66 books in the Bible, it gives you an eternal perspective, a different perspective. And that provides incredible insight in decision making. It really does impact how we make decisions. The insight that comes from the Word of God can make you wiser than all of your teachers. It really can. And then He tells us why. For I have more insight than all my teachers. And then He tells us why. For I meditate on Your statutes. Underline the word meditate there. That's so important for us to do. If we just develop a checklist. Okay, pastor says, I got to read my Bible every day. Check. And we just go through the motions. And we don't let the word saturate our mind. That's what that word meditate means. I'm going to let them saturate. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to ask God, what are You saying to me? What are You saying to me? And God, more importantly, what do You want me to do about what You're saying to me? How should I let that funnel through my life if I read it and I meditate and I think about it and just allow it to play through my mind as I live life? That's what he's talking about. For I meditate, I think about, I concentrate on your statutes, on your word. Verse 100, I have more understanding. So the Bible makes me wiser. It gives me insight and understanding. Underline the word understanding. For I have more understanding than the elders. Now, we talked about elders last week, didn't we? They're usually gray-haired guys. They usually lived life. They usually have a lot of life behind them. They have a lot of water under the bridge. They have a lot of experience to draw on. They sort of just know what to do in certain situations. And David's saying, they're great, and we should pay attention to what they say. But I have more understanding than the elders because I've meditated on your law, because I've let it saturate and influence my thinking, and because I've looked at it and I've gained wisdom and understanding, I know what to do. In other words, David says, I'm wiser. I'm wise beyond what I should be in my years. I'm wise beyond my years. But he adds, for I obey your precepts. Well, that's interesting. It's not just about reading. It's also about doing. It's also about obedience. God, instruct me and teach me. What are you saying to me? And on the other hand, what do you mean to do about it? Obedience. Obedience brings insight. When you're raising kids, you ever heard the saying, just do it because I said so? I love that. They hate that. But I got it, and so I have to torture them with what I was tortured with, right? It just makes sense. But sometimes you can't explain everything. Sometimes your children need to obey you just because you said so. Not that you're trying to withhold information. Maybe you don't have enough time at that moment to explain something, right? I mean, Kim and I always tried to give understanding. We always open the Word up and says we're basing our decisions based on what God says right here. And we try to teach them pretty clearly what to do and why. But sometimes we're in Disney World, the line's long, you're acting, you know, a little obnoxious, straighten up, because I said so. We don't have time to go into the theological dissertation right now. Just do it. Make sense? And so there's times for that, and sometimes it's the same way. Sometimes God explains everything to us, and we're like, wow, that's so cool. And other times He says, this is what I say, just obey me. You may not understand all the ramifications and all the effects and all the possibilities, but God says, I do, and you will. Once you obey me and get a little more life under you and a little more water through the bridge, you'll understand why this is so important for you. So he says, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Obedience brings insight. A cute little saying. You might want to write this down in your sermon notes today in the corner of your Bible. To understand why, submit and apply. To understand why, submit and apply. To understand why, submit and apply. In other words, sometimes that obedience, that walking in truth, helps us understand what God wants us to do, just like it applies with our children. So, verse 101, I've kept my feet from evil, from every evil. For I have kept my feet from every evil, in other words, every destructive path, so that I might obey your word. That's submission. Verse 102, I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Underline yourself. That means it's like God is speaking directly to David. And that's what happens when we read His word. We sense that He's speaking directly to us because it's so relevant to what's going on in our life at the moment. You'll find that so many times if you'll just read the Bible. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. He allows his values and his conscience to be shaped by God's word. And then, in a very practical way, Listen to how David concludes this thought here. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Can you circle the word my? That's a personal pronoun. That's personal, isn't it? Not to King David's feet, but as I read this, it's your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. That's true. It is. And a light for my path. Circle that next word, my. He makes it personal. When it's dark out, not in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense or in a life sense, it's dark. I don't quite know which path to take. There's several paths before me, and I can only see about 3 feet into this decision, and I know that it could be a life-altering decision. Do I move to New Mexico? Do I go to Alaska? Do I leave, sell everything I have and go to the mission field? Do I, with these life-altering decisions, do I change careers? I've been invested 20 years into this career, and I have an opportunity that I'm not real sure of, and I can only see about 3 feet into it. And His Word will light that path, will put, maybe you won't have but 6 feet, but you'll know enough to make a wise decision versus a shot in the dark and a chance. And it will shape your future. It'll make a tremendous difference. Light your path. When things aren't clear, it'll bring clarity to those situations. As we think about this, I want to tell you about a national organization that recently interviewed 250 churches. And in those churches, they were large churches across the country, and they asked them to list the things that contributed the greatest to their spiritual development, to their spiritual growth. And then when they got a list, they asked them to rank them. 1, 2, 3. This is the most important thing. And I bet a lot of you wouldn't be shocked to hear that reading God's Word on a daily basis had more impact than anything else in their spiritual life. More than the sermons, more than the fellowship, more than prayer, more than just about anything else. Across the board, it was almost unanimous that God's Word had more impact than anything else. Reading and studying the Scripture enables us to see as God sees, which empowers us to do as God says. Reading and meditating informs our consciences. It shapes our values and our understanding and our ability to make great decisions, not just decisions or okay decisions or good enough decisions, but really great decisions in life. Reading and meditating enables us to know right from wrong. It helps us know what's important versus not so important. Scripture provides us with 3 things: God's words, God's thoughts, and God's deeds. What God is all about. Parents, model and teach your kids to listen to God through the Scriptures. I want to give you a verse. If you're a parent, write this verse down. It'll shape your children in an amazing way. You'll be so happy you had them memorize this verse. Listen carefully. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. Listen to this verse and see if you would not want this verse to impact your children's lives. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. Pretty good so far, isn't it? Listen to the contrast, because Proverbs is all about contrast, right? The flip, Chris. The flip. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Boy, if we had had that verse growing up, what a difference would that have made in our lives if we would have not just said, God, what are you saying here? But God, how do we apply that? What do you want me to do about it? Maybe I wouldn't have hung around Joe Bob, Jimmy Jean, or whoever it was in my life that caused me to try that first drug. Or maybe shape that sexual influence that has created so much havoc in my marriage. Or, you know, we could go on and on and on with the influences on our lives, but he who walks with the wise becomes wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And when should you start teaching that? Can I suggest when they're old and they don't even know how to talk yet, you could begin shaping that so they can begin to influence. I tell my kids all the time, if you want to become really great in life, you got to become go around really great people who know God's Word and have made differences in the world. Get your advice from people where you want to go that have been there and done that. Not from people who can tell you how to do it, but have never done it themselves. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. That's just a tangible thing that we can apply right now and help our children to memorize and help them choose friends really wisely. Singles, you have one of life's biggest decisions ahead of you. You're going to have a mother-in-law someday, or right? Right? I'm just kidding. You need to see as God sees your singleness. You see God, how God sees your sex life. You need to see how God sees marriage. It may not be the way society sees marriage or we think marriage should be. It might be something different. He wrote the book. He created life. It was His idea. Not our government's or not ours. It's His idea. I don't know if you're paying close attention, but the path the culture is offering you may not end in happily ever after. But God's will end up that way. Newlyweds, so many decisions are paths that lead somewhere financially, relationally. We need God's insights to get those paths right. Teenagers, you need to see as God sees as it relates to friends. You'll soon discover that your friends will determine your direction and, just as importantly, your quality of life. And sometimes it's easier as a Christian teenager to listen to God than it is mom and dad. But read it and study it for yourself. Here's what I've discovered when I have not spent time in God's Word. And I've come to the point in my life where I can go a couple of days. It's not wise for me to go a couple of days, but I've spent thousands of hours literally studying this book. And I've gone deep into the book, into the original languages. And somebody asked me a question about, you know, Hebrews or Ephesians, I can usually tell you about where that verse is. If I can't tell you the address, I can get really close. And I can tell you sometimes Old Testament stuff within a book or two where that's at. And I can say, you know, tell me about Ephesians 4, you know, and I can say, well, let me just tell you about the whole book of Ephesians. And I can just launch into a little tirade, and then I have to back up. Some of you have been counseling and go, whoa, I didn't want that much information, Pastor, right? So I can go a while, and I'm not bragging. That's not a brag thing. I have to stay in God's Word, and these are four things that I've noticed in my personal life. So I prepared for this message, four things that happen in my life when I'm not in God's Word. Number one, I tend to magnify the weaknesses of others and overlook my own. When I'm not in God's Word consistently, maybe I miss a day or two because life is out there and, you know, I'm not being legalistic. Maybe I miss a couple of days, 3 days. I tend to start magnifying the weaknesses of others and minimizing my own. But God's Word says, hey, Martin, all right? It can bring a little conviction into my life. It can help me with that. I tend to evaluate all I see as if that's all there is. I tend to lose any eternal perspective. I tend to think how tough life is at the moment when, man, there's a lot more going out than my little kingdom, my little world. And God's Word restores that eternal perspective. That I'm just a blip on the radar screen. And I need to think in those terms. When I get out of God's Word for a few days, I tend to close my hands on my possessions. I tend to get worried and stressed out. Oh, God, we got so much to raise at the church. And I got to, you know, we got all this going on in our life, and we got to save for retirement, and what if, and what if, and what if. And then I read God's Word, and it says, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. And then, you know, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. And then I read in the Word, it's not yours anyway, it's mine. It's just on loan to you. Trust me, trust me, trust me. How many times have I provided for you in the past? What if, what if, what if? Trust me, trust me, trust me. I tend to hold on to my stuff a little too tightly. And the fourth one, see if this doesn't ring true with you. I hold on to my anger far too long. And I bet you do too. I tend to hold on to my anger far too long when I read in the Word about all that God has forgiven me for. How could I possibly? It's just so much easier when I get into God's Word to say, I'm just going to keep much shorter accounts of everybody else's life because I don't need to go there. Somebody this week said, I come to your church, I leave and I feel good and I don't feel judged. I looked at him very quickly and I said, boy, if I had to judge all your stuff, I would have to start with me. Right? It's not about your stuff and my stuff. That'll all take care of itself. God will convict you of what you need to repent of. And I point the law out to show you that there is sin and what God has done for us. But let's focus on the redemption for a while. God has done so much for us. Why would I possibly hold something against you? But when I get out of God's Word, I lose sight of that. You know why? Because I love to talk about what you've done against me. And that's, you know, that just happens in my life. Holding on to stuff and focusing on other people's stuff and not my own. As we wrap this up today, open God's Word tomorrow morning. Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you open God's Word up, even if you don't understand it all? You know, some people say, it's just so hard. Let me tell you what's hard. Reading some ancient literature for 15 minutes and trying to understand a little bit of the Bible, I don't know how hard that is. Maybe it's a little challenging if you have trouble reading like I did growing up. But listen, I'll tell you what's hard. Hard is making a decision in your 20s that you have to pay for in your 30s, 40s, and maybe even your 50s. Now that's hard. Hard is making, you know, having a decision in life that takes you 30 seconds to make that you have to pay for the next 30 or 40 years. Picking the wrong mate. Going through a divorce. Raising your children in a way where they don't have good discipline in your life and they end up going on to losing, you know, how many of people have I counseled that have lost relationships with their kids and they weep and cry in my office because their relationship is severed? That's hard. Reading ancient literature for a few minutes a day and maybe looking up a word or two in the dictionary, that's not so challenging in the grand scheme of things. God has sent you a text message. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, right? Open it up and read it. Read it. Read it. It'll change your life. To make it really simple, if it's still in your bulletin, they've been falling out all over. We won't do it that way next week. I don't know what we're going to do, but they're slimy little things. Well, not slimy, but slippery. And they just fall out. So take it out of your bulletin right now and put it somewhere else. Hey, Velcro. We need some Velcro. There's a little prayer here. Heavenly Father, help me see as you see so that I can do as you say. Empower me to do as you say. And there's a little reading schedule this week. All right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I gave you Saturday and Sunday off. All right. So just read two of these. We already read. You're going to read this on Wednesday and Thursday and go, I already know what it means. I know what the Bible means. Right. Because we've already talked about it. So like half of it, you already know. You're already there. Right. So listen. Just read this. Now, next week, I got another one for you. Okay? And then the next week, the conclusion of it, I got a whole Bible reading plan because I hope you just fall into love with the Bible over these 3 weeks. And you want to read it. And I'm going to give you and listen, if you're not a Jesus person, you know, maybe He offends you in some way, and we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're checking it out and all that. But even if you're not a Jesus person, Jesus isn't directly mentioned in these verses. You can read these verses. It's all Old Testament. And you can stay with us, okay? Right here with us. So just check it out, read it, and then I'm going to have a whole reading, several reading plans for you in 3 weeks. It's going to be really exciting that you can just keep going with this whole thing. So let's pray. Lord, we love You today. We praise You. We thank You for Your Word that helps us make great decisions for our life. Not okay decisions, not mediocre decisions, not good enough decisions, but Lord, through this Bible, we can literally make the best, the wisest decisions possible. And in Jesus' name, we pray that You would open up heaven and pour out Your grace and truth in our lives and help us to accomplish great things with Your Word. Give us a hunger and a thirst for what You say in Your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. We are way over time, and I